If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. You've got to catch the tense here. The old has gone. He is. You are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Oh, hallelujah. Until you grab that and walk in that every day, you'll miss out on so much of what's already been made so freely available to you. The old has gone. Yesterday's gone. Half of this morning has now gone. And all that we are looking forward to in expectancy is a bright future. Hallelujah. That's full of everything that God has provided for us already at the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. We go on from faith to faith and from glory to glory. We don't look back to the past. The past is gone. Even the good things that happened in the past, guess what? They're all gone. They're nothing more than memories now. I hope you've got some good memories, but even if you don't, it doesn't matter because the past is gone. Hallelujah. Now we're singing that song in royal robes I don't deserve. Oh, that was a shocker, so good. I tell you, I was remembering as we were singing that. I remember the first time we ever sang that song, or tried to sing that song. So I remember it's just. And then I was thinking, Lord, let's never lose. Lose that, just the wonder, and then what do we sing next? Hallelujah. I had no idea that song was coming next. Let's never lose the wonder of your mercy. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyway, we're coming back to it. I never expected this message to develop into a series. It's like the Christmas message that just keeps on giving. But God with us includes them. God with us includes them. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. Then the angel said to them, You can't get enough of that, can you? Do not be afraid. The world is bombarding us with fear all the time. From every direction, even from people that you know that you expect to be looking after you, they're only hitting you with is fear. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. Good news to some people. No, good news to all people. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Don't you love that? God with us. God with us. See, God with us includes every them that sin or religion or pride or prejudice or preconceived ideas have created. Hallelujah. Amen. Kirsty already gave us a good introduction to this morning. Now, I've taught this for years, but I believe it's isms that bring schisms, even in the church. Pentecostalism, Presbyterianism. You know how that will divide people? And every other kind of, even baptism, which isn't even, I mean, the Greek word should never have been translated as baptism. It just means to submerge. It means to immerse. That would deal with all of the arguments about how you do it. But even you turn it into an ism, baptism, and people go off in every direction with it. Come on. Anyway, leave that alone, all right. Hallelujah. Why? Because isms bring schisms. And God's not in the schism business. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, it says that there should be no schism in the body. If you're going to have no schism in the body, you're going to have to demolish all the isms. But that the members should have the same care for one another. People always want to label you, don't they? They always want to, I know you're a Christian, but what kind of Christian are you? You know, what variety? You know, they're always trying to put a label on you. And sometimes you have to sort of try and help them a little bit and give them some kind of understanding of and then they can apply the label if they like. But tell them the ingredients, that's the best thing. And then they can stick a label on if they like. Hopefully they'll get delivered from all the labelism in the end, anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the good news is that God with us includes every them. that sin has produced, that sin has perpetuated, and that sin has allowed to develop. Because you need to understand that only sin creates a division between us and them. Did you hear what I said? Only sin can create a division. What happened to the first man and woman? Sin came in, and all of a sudden they're blaming one. Well, the husband's blaming the wife, and the wife's looking for someone else to blame. Yeah. Only sin creates an us and a them. The next generation, what happens? First two brothers. Yeah. Sin. And God's word to Cain was, sin is out to get you, but you can rule over it. But he ignored God's counsel and he just ran with sin. And what happened? The first murder took place in the second generation. How disastrous is that? But John 3:16 tells us that God so great, in the Amplified Bible, I think it puts it this way, God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world. God so valued this fallen, broken, messed up world of sinful people that he was willing to pay the highest price in order to provide the only possible solution. There was no other way. The only possible solution. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Where? At the cross. Royal robes. We don't deserve. We live to serve. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God, Jesus became sin with our sinfulness so that we could become righteous with his righteousness in royal robes. We're not dressed in sinners' garments anymore. We're dressed in royal robes of righteousness that we don't deserve. And glory to God, doesn't matter whether you deserve it or not. Hallelujah. And you don't go around beating yourself up saying, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve this. That was Jacob's problem. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies. And what happened then? He didn't get any of the mercies. He closed himself down from that which was already there for him. And then he had to move from that declaration to, I will not let you go until you bless me. Kobo Shaka, come on. Hallelujah. I tell you, walking around as a Christian telling people how you're just such a wicked sinner doesn't attract many people to you. Because they're just going to invite you to join the club. May as well just join the sinner club then. But come on, you can come with us and find out, we'll all bring our sorrows together. People need to hear that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and now we get to wear royal robes. Oh yeah, we don't deserve them, but we wear them anyway.
Yeah.
And it changes your life. It turns your life completely. It transforms your life. There's no even words to describe it. Hallelujah. Three words, metamorpho. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That will keep you in awe and wonder. May I never lose the wonder of your mercy. Oh, hallelujah. See, all of the separation, all of the division that was created by the wretchedness of sin, all of the depths of depravity that mankind has the propensity to sink into, has all been dealt with. I mean, you can sink pretty low. Isn't that right? Even, I mean, I know people, and maybe you're here today, and you reach a certain point with people, and the sin that you will allow that maybe God could have mercy on them, but then you cross a line, you create some line, and you say, over this line, well, no, there's no hope for them. There's certain things that people do, there's certain sin that people can get involved in, there's certain depths of depravity that people can sink into, and if they get to there, you say, no. That's why I tell you, you need to rub out your line. At the cross, Jesus, he raised your line. Hallelujah. Hey, it's good news. Smile at me or something. Maybe you're here today and you're glad that line has been erased. Because maybe you were in there. Maybe you were one of these people. Hallelujah. Maybe you're still one of these people. But if you are, I want to tell you that Jesus, he raised that line. Hallelujah. And there's hope for you. And there's hope for everyone. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of that stuff has been dealt with at the cross. So even the most lost of people have the opportunity to repent and to embrace the forgiveness that has been freely provided for all. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore he is able to save to the uttermost. You've probably heard people use this phrase, and the guttermost. Those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. I'm sure there's some people who tried to, who were coming to Jesus and the devil got in front of them and said, no, not him, he can't, I know what he's been doing, I know what he's been up to, I know how bad he really is. And Jesus just says, get out of the way. And he presents that person to the Father. Hallelujah. And that person comes in genuine repentance. Hallelujah. And lays hold upon that which Jesus has already provided for them. Royal robes.
Hallelujah.
You can label them any way you like, but I'll tell you, they've got royal robes. In that instant, royal robes. Come on, the prodigal came home, and he came home with that beaten down prayer. Oh God, I'm not worthy. Father, I'm not worthy to even be a servant in your house, but oh, blah, 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 blah. And God just ignored, the Father just ignored his prayer. And called for the robes, the best robe. Hallelujah. Put it on him. He needs to know he's home. Hallelujah. He's been restored. That's my son who was lost. He's home again. He's been found. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anyway, I want to look. We're going to complete this series today, right? I'm going to push on. Hallelujah. I want to look at a couple of examples of how Jesus showed us how to deal with the us and them conflict. Because it's time for us to advance and move forward in this year of reconciliation. That's a prophetic declaration we've been given. This is a year of reconciliation. This is a time for us to see brothers and sisters coming together. But it's more than that's enough. We want to see people being reconciled to their Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The more we see of the vertical, hopefully we'll see of the horizontal. Hallelujah. As we all come together with one heart, one purpose to see the lost saved. Hallelujah. See those who are without God and without hope in this world come to know the only one who can save them from their sin. The only one who can repair their brokenness. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Come and dance if you feel like it. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus said his words are spirit and life. I've always said this. I want to bring a message that engages with your spirit rather than just hooking your soul. You've been around here a few years, you've heard that before, many times. But as Ali reminded us a while back, that doesn't mean that our soul is irrelevant or redundant. Most of the stuff and all of the baggage is in the soul. When you're born again, your spirit is boom, instantly perfected. Hallelujah. Recreated in the image of God. Hallelujah. But your soul is where all the stuff is. And an important part of our soul is our emotions. People just say the soul is made up of, you know, the mind or the intellect and the will and the emotions. But a very important part of our soul is our emotions. And I've taught on this before several times over the years, but I believe all people have four basic emotional needs, which I'll get to in a minute. But I believe Jesus modeled for us that these needs are met in the lives of others, at least initially, by our attitudes, our actions and our reactions to them. Which then build the bridge for us to bring spirit words. The words that are spirit and life. The life-giving words. The life-transforming words. So the four basic emotional needs. I like to use the acronym, if you like, ASAP. Everybody knows what that means, really. So basically, the first A is agape, which is, of course, the Greek word for unconditional love. Which is basically undefeatable goodwill. Remember, goodwill to all people, all mankind, and unconquerable benevolence. It's the love that, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God. It's the God kind of love. It's unconditional love. It's not based on anyone's performance or who they are or where they come from, their history or anything else. It's only based on one thing. I love you because I love you.
Yes, amen.
because I love you. Aye, but because I love you. Oh, because I love you. The second basic emotional need, I believe, is security. People need to know that they are in a safe space with you. So anything from their past or their history that happens to come out or that you already know or anything else doesn't alter your attitude towards them. Doesn't change the way you look at them. Doesn't change the way you see them and all of the potential that they already have to be everything that God created them to be, regardless of their past or their present. This is dangerous stuff, by the way. This is like handling dynamite. This is whatever the modern equivalent is. That's why Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive dunamis power. That's the root for dynamite. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It's explosive stuff. Oh, a whole and a lot of religion, this. The second A is acceptance. Four basic emotional needs. Unconditional love, agape, security, acceptance. Now I want to just qualify that. Acceptance doesn't equal approval of lifestyle choices, but it accepts people where they are at. Knowing the potential that they have to become everything that God created them to be. Come on. And of course, the fourth basic emotional need of every person is purpose. Purpose. Everyone is looking for purpose. Everyone is looking for a meaning to their lives. What's it all about? Why am I here? Now that can get seriously messed with all the stuff that we pass through on our way to discovering the true purpose. But everyone's looking for that. I like to remember these basic needs as ASAP because people really need us to demonstrate these attitudes and these actions towards them, and they need us to do it ASAP. As soon as possible. Remembering that with God, nothing is impossible. Doesn't matter how you view people or how people have because people love to bring a report about people doing that. Tell you everything that they've done, tell you everywhere they've been. And you need to understand he's able to save to the uttermost. To the guttermost. Don't know where he found you, but he found me pretty close to the gut. Hallelujah. When I was backsliding for 2.5 years, it was my 38th anniversary, just on New Year's Eve there. When he found me, and he found me pretty close to the gut on that occasion. Hallelujah. But in royal robes. I don't deserve. I live to serve Her Majesty. Oh, hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Now, this doesn't always fit with the new and what I believe is an increasingly fashionable gospel of self, which seems to have majorly infiltrated the church in recent times. What am I talking about here? I've got a wee clue to help you with that. Anything that has the prefix self that isn't self-denial is not compatible with the good news of the kingdom as taught by Jesus, and with which we are commissioned to disciple others. Now, there's loads of self-words out there, isn't there? They've infiltrated the church. And I believe that there appears to have arisen a slight twist in the understanding of Jesus' teaching in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. But it says, Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I just want to deal with something here quickly, okay? Some folks have taken this to mean that you have to love yourself before you can love others. But that is completely, totally, and utterly unsupported by Scripture. And to be honest, maybe you've bought into that, but if you try, it's because I've noticed if you try and correct this error, in some circles they'll look at you like you're a heretic. Or one of these horrible people who take baby sweeties off them and stuff. You delight in stealing the baby's candy. Maybe that's why the church has become so immature. Because that is the nature of a baby. As far as in a baby's world, it's all about moi, me, self. Isn't it? For we're no longer to be babies. We have to grow up and to become mature in Christ. But it's no longer about us. It's about us and them together. One big us. Not just me. It's not about me. It's about us. And us includes them. In fact, here's a scripture for you in case you didn't know it. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh. So you already love yourself. Whether you're willing to admit it or not. Some people love themselves so much that they hide away from other people. So there's all kinds of messes, there's all kinds of stuff in broken souls that need help, but we need to deal with it the way God wants us to deal with it, with His Word. His Word is the only answer to every question, the only solution to every problem. The only way of everything that we face that is against us. Come on. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. So you don't need help to love yourself. You don't need a life coach up here telling you need to love yourself more before you can love other people. And a lot of times people use the analogy, don't they? If you're on a plane with a thing in your cabin, what's that word? You know, when you need oxygen. What do you call a cabin that's in an aeroplane? Come on, over. Every budgie that flies across the vents, you don't usually have it, but. The stewardess tells you, you know, if the oxygen fails in the cabin, then supply fails in the cabin, then this mask is going to fall down from the sky. Glory to God, hallelujah. Haven't been in a situation where it's ever happened. Thank you, Lord. Flown a few miles, but anyway. But he said, before you help anybody else, make sure you have your own secure. Now I've always thought about this. I've often thought about it, and I said, I've never been in this situation, but I can imagine a mother and a child, or even a father and a child, on a plane. And I can't imagine them, to be honest, getting their own mask on first before they help their child. Can you really? I don't see it anyway. Your instant reaction would be to preserve the life of your child, preserve the life of that person that you're responsible for, and then maybe wrestle with your own. Maybe take a deep breath before you get into it. Come on. And that's the way we need to live our lives. We're not here for ourselves. We don't need to learn to love ourselves more. We need to take some of the love we already have for ourselves and start giving it away. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You already love yourself. So take some of that love that you have for yourself and stop being so selfish with it. And I know this blows a hole in a lot of the psychobabble that's entered the church, but let's just kick it out and let's get back to the job we've been given. Amen. It's not good. It's not bad news. I'm not taking your candy, all right? I've got better news for you. All right? God never takes anything from you without giving you something better in its place. Come on. Hallelujah. Please listen to this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9 in the Amplified Bible. It says, a little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers, leavens the whole batch. It perverts the concept of faith and misleads the church. If you allow that stuff into your life about loving yourself before you can love anybody else, you'll discover that you're not as effective in the work of the kingdom as God longs for you to be. Katrina actually pointed out to me the following quote from a high-profile Bible teacher just a couple of days ago. I'm not here to criticize it. I'm just here to teach you some stuff and ditch it and then move on. Amen. Someone I have a lot of respect for, by the way, who said, I believe that what this person said highlights the unscriptural basis for this completely wrong understanding, in my opinion at least. This is what they said. Sometimes saying goodbye to someone doesn't mean you no longer love that person. It just means you have chosen to love yourself more. And that quote had over 12,000 likes from people who presumably consider themselves to be disciples of Jesus. Because it's a Bible teacher, and most people who follow that person on social media will probably be disciples of Jesus. Sometimes saying goodbye to someone doesn't mean, I want you to think about Jesus here. Sometimes saying goodbye to someone doesn't mean you no longer love that person, it just means you have chosen to love yourself more. That is about as antichrist as I could possibly imagine. 12,000 lights. And yet Jesus said, I want to go back to what Jesus said. In John 15, verse 12, he said, this is my commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not his opinion. It's not his good advice on how you might live your life. No, he said, this is my commandment, that you love agapao one another as I have loved agapao you. Can you imagine Jesus waving you goodbye because he's chosen to love himself more? Come on! Hit that thing where it hurts and get it right out of the truck and let's get back to business! Think about it! People don't think that's a problem! They just accept stuff. Well, and this person I said, teach lots of good stuff. Well, that's utter, well, I don't even want to call it what it is. That's just unbelievable. I went back and read it 7 or 8 times. I just kept. That's just. I can't believe it. Someone said that. And 12,000 people liked it. And probably more by now. See, this new and misleading gospel of self, it must be surgically removed from our life. And the only way to do that is by the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than even the laser surgery. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's the entrance of God's word brings light. It gets in there and it's able to divide between soul and spirit and get in there and remove all that junk out of the soul and get us back to spirit words and living our life according to how Jesus said to live it. Not soulish psychobabble. That has to happen if we're going to successfully and obediently proclaim good news to all people. By the way, I'm just saying goodbye to you right now because I've decided to love myself more. Well, thank you. That's really good news. Thank you very much. Here's the good news, folks. I've decided that you no longer have a place in my life because I've decided to love myself more. If you preach off half an hour, let's leave it. Hallelujah. Remember the four basic emotional needs? Agape, unconditional love. Unconditional love will never say goodbye to anybody. Remember one night, in fact, I was just out on that road out there on the Barbers where this guy had some issues in his life and he spent the night on our couch and I was just driving him back to store and he says, tell me this, he says, have you ever given up on anybody? I says, how could I? How could I ever give up on anybody? And God never gave up on me. How can you possibly think that you can kick someone out of your life because you've decided to love yourself more? Come on. Let's move on. Hallelujah. I want you to please listen here. Please listen in order not just to hear but to see how Jesus demonstrates the meeting of all of these basic needs in people's lives. We're just going to look at a couple of examples. And how he builds a bridge that carries the spirit words that release people into a brand new life where all of the brokenness is gone forever because that's his heart. The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to those who are destitute in this world, without God and without hope, to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted. What's a broken heart? It's always the result of a broken relationship. And our relationship with our Father in heaven was broken, but Jesus came to heal that. This is, come on, God was in Christ reconciling the world, healing the broken heart that existed because of that broken relationship. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. Listen to these words. I want you to just tune in here and find these four basic needs being met by Jesus here. Unconditional love, security, acceptance, and ultimately purpose. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would he not know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him? For she is a sinner. She's one of them. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. And he said, well, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors, one owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. There, can you imagine Jesus not knowing what kind of woman she was? Do you imagine that woman, I mean, she's responding to who she knows he is, and she's come in and she knows that she's in this hostile environment. And she bypasses all of these people that are looking daggers at her. And she comes straight to Jesus. Now you know, if Jesus had even just flinched, she'd probably have taken off. You catching this? If he'd even just flinched her, that would have been enough to scare her off. I want to think, how many people have been scared off by self-righteous, judgmental attitudes that we have exhibited towards them? Anyway, hallelujah. You don't have to take us home and chew on it anyway. Hallelujah. I'd advise you did that. She says, therefore I say to you, her sins which are many are... Jesus acknowledged her sins are many, but they're forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table were in royal robes. And she's like, this woman's floating home in royal robes. I don't deserve, come on. Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this man who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, the religious crew, they wanted to know, what's one of them doing here with us? And does this Jesus not even know that she's one of them? You see, and as I was meditating on this yesterday, something just came to me quite clearly. Jesus refuses to play the us and them game. And I want you to hear this, because can you not imagine the temptation that was there? All of a sudden, Jesus has been asked into a Pharisee's house to fellowship with them. Why don't you catch something? This is so powerful. Because you will face this temptation. Maybe you've already faced it. Maybe you've already succumbed to it. Maybe you're already fellowshipping with people. Because you have such a deep wound in your own soul that you long to be accepted. Regardless of the terms. Regardless of what you have to compromise or sacrifice. In order to have that fellowship. But Jesus, he didn't play that game. He had no gaping wounds in his soul. So this is his chance. Well, the Pharisees, they look as if they're closing up to me now. Maybe this is the chance for us to get it together. But not at the cost of one person that they still viewed as a them. He would not do it. He would not compromise. It's a powerful message, by the way. It's very prophetic. Can you imagine the temptation to be finally be accepted by the Pharisees? No. The cost is too high. I mean, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but have you noticed that some people will treat you differently when others are around? But they recognise that some people who might not be so accepting of you, so they'll treat you differently. You know, the day before, they went all over you, like, you know, big hugs and, oh, praise the Lord, great to see you, how's it going? You meet them the next day in a different place, and they're with different people, and they're like, I've experienced that so many times, I've never been able to figure it out, to be honest. Come on, the day before they were slobbering, the next day they went put their hand out, and you're like, come on, what's the matter with you people? You don't mind me sliding into a wee bit of Glasgow vernacular there, but anyway. Oh, dear me. Remember Paul's testimony, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 to 22. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. What a place to be, hallelujah. That I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ. That I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak, and I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So was Paul the greatest compromiser of all time? Don't be ridiculous. He's not talking here about compromise. See, a servant always places himself under. In order to help people up and out of where they are. A servant doesn't come in over the top pointing a harsh finger of judgment and trying to sort everybody out. Come on. A servant comes in under. And when a true servant has finished their job, you know you've been served. You find yourself in a better place. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Did you get these four basic needs? And take it home, study it for yourself. Hallelujah. I don't know how time is going here. But here's another one. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the... I could point them out to you, but I want you to take this home. I want you to go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to know how to do it the way you did it. I believe I've got the same anointing. I believe I've got the same Holy Spirit in me. I want to be led by the Spirit so that I might be a son of God or a daughter of God, hallelujah, that comes to serve and not to be served, that comes to introduce people, regardless of who they are or where they've been or what they've done or who they did it with, regardless of any of these things, that they might come to know you, because I believe that you were at the cross reconciling the world to yourself. I want to see your heart, what's on your heart, fulfilled. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Come on. John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Familiar story. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. I mean, imagine Jesus came, he receives this woman, the first woman, right, boom, boom, boom. Creates a place of security in a hostile environment for this woman, a place of safety. He proves to her that he accepts her. Hallelujah. And then at the end of it, he gives her, he releases her into her purpose. Go in peace, go in shalom, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Go and testify of the goodness of God. Go and tell him about the royal robes that you're now wearing that you don't deserve. Go and tell him. Because the world out there needs to hear that there's royal robes that they don't deserve, but they can put them on. Hallelujah. And they can walk in them. Hallelujah. Come on. Anyway. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees, here they come again, brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? I mean, there's several levels of us in them here, you understand? Because that's what that spirit always does, comes to divide. Because if you can divide, you can conquer. But we are now more than conquerors. Why? Because we don't give to that spirit of division in us and there. Yeah. We don't yield 1 minute to it, 1 second to it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What do you say? This they said, tested him, that they might have something with which to accuse him. That was their whole purpose. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. And you've probably heard hundreds of sermons on what Jesus wrote. So did I. But then I said, Lord, I want to know, what did you write? Because you're the only one that was there that knows what you wrote. That I can ask. Everybody else, I don't have the ability to communicate with them, thank the Lord. So tell me, what did you write? And that's what I believe he said. Now you have to test this, and I'm just... He said, what do you think I wrote? I said, I don't know. What did you write? He said, I wrote the same thing I wrote on the tablets of stone. The same finger. I wrote, you shall not commit adultery. You see, in a legalistic situation, that's you completely, boom, judged, boom, that's it, all over. Take her out and stone her. But in the presence of God, it's not all about legalism anymore. It's about when God speaks, the Spirit of the Lord comes to convict. And at the end of the day, the only person who'd actually committed adultery who was still there Because there's two ways to respond to conviction, my friend. You can say, I'm guilty. and you can come to that place where you'll never again lose the wonder of His mercy. And you'll get up from that place and you'll say, in royal robes, oh boy, I do not deserve. I live to serve Your Majesty. Or you can say, walk out. And refuse to allow God to deal with. The only one who can deal with your sin and deal with your mess and deal with your struggle and deal with your trouble, you just walked out of that opportunity. And that's what happened. And at the end of the day, there's just this woman, the one who they came and accused, and she was an adulteress. But she chose to stay. Why? Because she knew I'm in a place where there's unconditional love. They brought me here to kill me, and now I'm in a safe place. The only safe place. There's only one safe place. And this man accepts me. He doesn't approve of what I've done. He just repeated, you shall not commit adultery. I'll tell you, she walked out of that place that day and she said, I shall not commit adultery. Come on. I'll guarantee that woman never committed adultery again. But she walked down the road in royal robes that she did not deserve. Hallelujah. And everywhere she went, she testified of the agape love, the unconditional love, and the security and the acceptance. And now she's got a purpose. She's restored to her purpose. She was an adulteress, which meant she was married. She had a husband at home. She probably had children. So she was restored to her purpose as a not just as a precious soul in the kingdom, but as a wife and a mother. A broken home was put together. Everything was restored. That's God's heart always, to gather, remember. To gather together in one all things in Christ. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Come on. When they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he is without sin among you. Let him throw a stone at first. Can you imagine their eyes? You shall know. The Holy Spirit's here, by the way. You might, come on. How are you going to respond? I'm a Pharisee. I could never admit, I could never confess that I've been an adult. I could never do that. But remember, Jesus raised the game. He said, you don't even have to commit the physical act. He said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, then you've already done it in your heart. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes up. That's the level of conviction He brings. He doesn't just contain it to letters on stone tablets. No, He comes with a full package. He comes with an upgrade on conviction. Hallelujah. Why? Because He wants to set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, in that freedom. And do not ever allow yourself to be entangled again with any yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Listen what happened. And again he stooped down and wrote a line. I said, what did you write that time? Same as I wrote it last time. And then it says, then those who heard it, being convicted by... How do you hear something that's written on the ground? Only when the Holy Spirit's there. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even, because the oldest had probably done it more often than the last, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now you need to understand, they weren't entirely alone, because the people he'd been teaching, and that teaching had been so rudely interrupted by the Pharisees and the scribes, they were still there. When Jesus had raised himself up, Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? This was her opportunity. This is her last opportunity to walk away. I know it wasn't true anyway. Thrust herself down. And, I thought so. Said Shane the Gaelic. Out of here. Come on. No, but she said, no one. Listen to her language. No one, Lord. I recognize whose presence I am in right now. And I recognize that I'm unconditionally loved. That I'm in a safe place. That I'm accepted. And then Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She discovered her purpose, which is the purpose of every single last person, to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Where sin is no longer part of the picture. Where the old has gone. For that woman stood up and walked out there that day, and the old was gone forever. And the new had come, and she walked down there in royal robes she did not deserve. Isn't that amazing how God brings the songs and everything? We don't I don't phone Ali, he doesn't phone me, he says, what song's out we should sing tomorrow? What's the message? Oh, we'll try and match it up. No, he just does it, doesn't he, every time. Hallelujah. Every time he does it. Why do we not let us never lose our wonder? Yes. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Agape, security, acceptance, and purpose. You know, there's many examples we could look at that confirm this truth. That the us and the them has been demolished. That the perfect will of our Heavenly Father has already been clearly stated. That He is not willing that any perish, that any miss their purpose. But that all come through repentance, to faith, to know Him as Father. Hallelujah. I mean, think of the woman at the well. I mean, we've talked about that many times, the woman at the well. Think about that. Unbelievable. What about the gathering demoniac? I mean, what kind of us and them had been created around that man's life? They tried wrapping him in chains. The chains couldn't contain. They kept stuck him out in the graveyard and said, "Now stay there and don't bother coming back to town again. We'll wrap you up again in more chains." He's got thousands of demons. Everybody has rejected him. This man has got rejection on his rejection on his rejection on his rejection. And Jesus comes off the boat, walks up the shore. The guy comes right out the tombs, and Jesus just carries on walking. He didn't go, get in the boat, come on. Never go back out again. This is about as demon possessed as demon possessed gets. As far as the scripture's concerned, anyway. And Jesus just walks up, carries on walking. Unconditional love oozing out of every pore. Hey, you've got nothing to fear from me, my friend. I'm here to create a safe place for you. Come on! Think about it. I accept you. Not your 5,000 demons will soon deal with that. I accept you. I love you because 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 I created you and I have a purpose for your life. Don't you love His purpose? Because the man says, I'll follow you now. He said, no. Now, most ministries at that point would have said, absolutely, I need your testimony on the platform every time we do a meeting. This is so-and-so. He used to have 5,000 demons, but not now, not since he met us. Come on, think about it. Come on, we're dealing with stuff here. We're dealing with some major stuff here because we want to get the job done. Yep. So let's kick everything that's fake and false out the door, hallelujah, so we can get it done. In all humility. I mean, this guy would have been in every poster, he would have been in every newsletter, he'd have been on every channel, you know what I'm saying? This is the guy. This proves now the power of God. No, he said, go back to your own people and let your life, the new life that you have, be a testimony to them. And tell them what happened and tell them who delivered you and who set you free. That you had an encounter with the living God and you discovered that you were loved. You discovered for the first time in your life that there was a safe place for you. That you were accepted. And now you've discovered your purpose. Hallelujah. Just like the women at the well. Go back into your town. Go back into your city. Go back to the people. Show them what God has done. Tell them what God has done. Just like the people in that town in Samaria, they came out and they said, oh man, but we don't just believe now just because of your testimony, but now we know for ourselves who this man is. Hallelujah. I said it before, the most powerful thing, we've got into a new week right now. We're going to scatter right here, we're gathered together. Isn't it fantastic? Isn't it awesome? Isn't it great to be together? But now we're going to be scattered again. We're going all to these different places and we're carrying this message. This word and this ministry of reconciliation to tell people, you need to understand that God has already done everything that He needs to do in order for you to come back into that place of relationship with Him. Will you accept that? If you knew even a tiny little fragment of what He's already done and accomplished on your behalf, you would grab it with both hands. I don't know, sometimes religion or Pharisee attitudes or self-righteousness or judgmentalism has obscured that truth from you, but I want you to know I mean, I've experienced this even over the last few months. There were certain situations with certain people, and people say, oh, pfft. And I know there's people who don't know the Lord who struggle with this. And they'll say, but listen, what about that? What about a murderer? How can he be forgiven? Blah, 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 blah. Because he ain't got it yet. But we need to demonstrate to people, whoever they are, whatever they've done, wherever they've been. Oh, hallelujah. In him we have redemption through his blood, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known to us the mystery of his will. I mean, in the old covenant it was a bit of a mystery, but according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, he's now revealed to us this mystery, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That's why these Pharisees, guys with the women with the flask of oil, they're scratching their heads. Who's this guy? Thinks he can forgive sins. It's a mystery, the other fellow said. Remember, the mystery's just been revealed. This is what God's really like. This is what he's always wanted. Good news to all people. Good news that remains available to all unless, and I've said this before, their last breath in this life contains a no to Jesus. Then, the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. God loves us, and because he loves us, he is with us. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, it says in Colossians chapter 1, tells us that through the blood of Jesus, God has brought us into his presence, where we stand before him, cringing in fear. No, we stand before him holy, blameless, and completely without fault. I don't know about you, but all that makes, the only response I can get from me is, let me never lose a wonder. Let me never lose a wonder of your mercy. Let me never lose it, Lord. Not even for a moment. Not even for a millisecond. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. If you've got any self problems that we spoke about earlier, they're all dealt with in that. How can you ever have another self-conscious moment or a problem with self-esteem? But, I mean, who wants to have self-esteem? I want to esteem the one who took me from where I was and brought me to where I am now, who clothed me with his righteousness, so that in royal robes I don't deserve, I can live to serve his majesty. Come on. In this year of reconciliation, I believe that we are entering days when we are going to see the Anointed One with his anointing reveal God's glory in greater ways and to a greater extent than we have ever seen before. Because that's the only problem. See, the glory is here. I said it before, you've got to get your tenses right when you read Scripture. The Bible says that the revelation in heaven is that the whole earth is already filled with his glory. I mean, some people get that uppity if you sing the same song three times in church. But round the throne of heaven, they sing the same song for all eternity. The holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And somebody up there going, anybody sing that again? Yeah, they're going to sing it again. Holy, holy, holy. Why? Because he's always holy, because he never changes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is. Come on, the whole earth will be one day, maybe someday, if we pray enough, fight enough, fast enough, pull ourselves through keyholes enough because we got so skinny, because we fasted too much. Come on. No. The whole earth is filled. Is filled. You've got to say it. Is filled. That's why I say everybody go, the glory's here. Hallelujah. The glory's here. Doesn't feel like, I don't care what it feels like. The glory's here. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to see more. Remember, it's more of, not more than. We don't want any more than. We just want more of. Because there's a limitless resource of his glory and of his presence and of his power. But this is what I want to finish with. We're going to see these things in places and among people where you would never expect. Because I've got to tell you, wherever the most wicked, self-serving sinner exists on this island today, and whatever they are doing, I want you to know that the glory is right there. The glory is right there, where they are doing what they're doing. Maybe some of you, maybe you got born again in situations like that. You were in places that you don't know even how you got there. You don't know how you managed to slide into that place. But in that place and at that point, God revealed himself to you. Because the glory was already there. Come on. You didn't have to go, oh, I better get out of here, or I better go try and find a church building somewhere where there's a service. Or, no. Maybe you wanted to do that afterwards. But that wasn't, come on. Right there you met with him. Because the glory is here, because his earth fills the whole, his glory fills the whole earth. There are people gathered together right now in places devising the most wicked plans you could ever possibly imagine, and yet right there the glory is there. That's why the scripture says that there's coming a day when the knowledge of the glory, that's all that's missing, is people's knowledge of the glory of the air shall cover, the brothers of the glory of the earth shall cover as the waters cover the sea. Knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Only if you want to. Jesus. Hallelujah. There's more to say, but so we're going to finish this today and we'll finish. You catch that? The four most basic emotional needs. What happens when you build that bridge with these, by beating these emotional needs by the way you, the way that you, by your attitude or the way you act or the way that you react towards people? You build the bridge where then you can bring the spirit words. Go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. These are spirit words. Come on. They bypass the soul. And from the spirit, all the healing begins to flow and all of the broken places get healed. Not by trying to convince them that they're not really that bad a person after all. You know, well, I know you think you're that bad, but you're not really that bad. Get out of here, you are bad, but now God's come to forgive you and set you free and make you a new creation. In Christ, you were bad, you were very bad. And now in royal robes you don't deserve. Oh, hallelujah! We live to serve, Her Majesty. Let me never lose the wonder. Sometimes English don't cut it. You just got to break loose. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your incredible goodness. Thank you, Lord, that your goodness is the bestness. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You don't do different levels of goodness. You're just good all the time. Hallelujah. Good, the best, the very best. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In royal robes, we don't deserve. We live to serve your majesty. Father, Lord, send us out into this week, Lord. At every place that we go, to all the different places that we might travel, places we might enter into, the places we might work, Lord, study, or wherever we are, Lord. In places we shop, wherever we go, the places we walk, Lord, help us, Lord, just to reach out to people and to demonstrate towards them that they are loved unconditionally, that they have a safe place around us. Lord, that we accept them on the basis of what you did at the cross on behalf of every single last person, Lord, and that we have a message that can release them into the purpose that you have for their life. Spirit words, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring in a mighty harvest, we pray, Father. Lord, we commit ourselves to that harvest today in Jesus' name. No more as a name. God with us in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody here today and you haven't made that choice, that best choice you can ever make, and you haven't already taken hold of the reconciliation that's already yours, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then today will be the day. Go there to another center. If you would like someone to get around you and demonstrate ASAP to you, hallelujah, glory to God, and just help you into that relationship and pray with you through that place, then just come forward right now. People get ready and pray for you. No judgment, no condemnation, but only salvation in this place this morning. Because the glory is here. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe God comes to you. When God convicts you, he doesn't convict you to condemn you. You need to understand the difference between conviction and condemnation. God never condemns, he only convicts. Hallelujah. And then he invites. What if there's a day of condemnation, coming? There's a day of judgment coming, but this is your opportunity to escape that. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. So if that's you today, just please come. Let's just be with you as you encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. And embrace the salvation he provided for you. Just say, Lord, I thank you that my past is gone. And I'm stepping into my new life. The royal robes I don't deserve. Hallelujah. I want to live to serve your majesty. Let me never, ever, ever, ever lose the wonder. Hallelujah. Is that you today? This is about worshipping the Lord again, just for a few moments. But I don't like to labour these things. We don't need to labour these things. Hallelujah. Jesus did all the labouring at the cross. This is just an invitation. That's all it is. Invitation. RSVP, have another 4 letters for you, hallelujah. RSVP to his ASAP. And respond. The Pundi Super Player as soon as possible. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, anybody who delayed that decision always regretted the delay. Hallelujah. The only wish they had is that they'd done it sooner. Hallelujah. Yeah. The invitation's there. Lord, amen. If he needs anything else, it's for you to pray for healing or for anything else that you may have needing, you may have in your life, and we want to pray with you as well. Because we believe Jesus provided everything on the cross that we will ever need for spirit, soul, and for body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.